one sermon broken up in half? Or is this a minister trying to sneak two sermons? And I'll leave that for you to decide at the end of the service. But I want us to look at two moments in the Gospels that happen after the death of Jesus. And I think they're moments that help us to understand what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's an important thing to think about, because we as a church are in the business of making disciples. If you look up our church website, right there front and center on the homepage is, if you like, our purpose, our objective. We say that in Connor, our goal is to see unbelieving people become lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. And as we think about what it means to be a disciple today, the first passage that we're going to think about is this one that I read a few moments ago at the end of Luke chapter 23, where we're introduced to a man who is known as Joseph of Arimathea. And we meet him just after the death of the Lord Jesus. And I think that in some ways, that period between the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is a kind of murky period. We don't seem to think much about the passages that there are in the Gospels that talk about that period between Jesus dying and rising again. Indeed, the way our Easter weekend and our services are configured, it doesn't really lend itself to thinking about those events, because we gather together on Good Friday evening, and rightly so, and the big emphasis is the death of the Lord Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, what that achieves for those who believe in him. And then we fast forward to Easter Sunday morning, and some really brave souls will have gathered earlier today at 7 o'clock up at Slemish. The rest of us gather here together at the more sensible time of noon, and we worship God. And today, the emphasis is very much on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the hope that we have who believe in him and share in that resurrection. And yet, when you look at this guy, Joseph of Arimathea, you see that he plays a really significant role in the story of the first Easter. Without him, the likelihood is that the Lord Jesus would have been buried alongside other criminals right at the foot of the cross, that he would have been given a rough burial on Golgotha, the place of the skull. So what do we know about this man, Joseph? Well, Luke tells us, if you look at the passage again, you look at the end of Luke chapter 23, that Joseph was a member of the council, verse 50. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. That was the very body that had decided to put Jesus to death. And yet the thing about Joseph that Luke tells us in the following verse is that he had not consented to their decision and action. He had objected to what was being done to Jesus. And Luke tells us that this man, Joseph, was a good and an upright man. That means that he took God's law seriously. He sought to live by God's law in his life. But not only that, Luke also tells us that Joseph was waiting for the kingdom of God. He not only followed God's law, he believed God's promises. And especially, he believed the promise that God would send a Messiah. He would send the Christ to deliver his people. And like many devout people, he was waiting for this person to come. But beyond what Luke tells us about this man, Joseph, Matthew and John add in that he was a disciple of Jesus. And John gives us the additional information that because of his fear of the other leaders, Joseph was a secret disciple. But now he was about to go public in the most spectacular way. Now he was about to show that he was a true disciple of Jesus. Look again at verses 52 and 53. And we're told that going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. And then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. And when you think about what Joseph did there, that was a risky business. Going to Pilate in the first place was taking a big risk. Then burying the body of Jesus, who had been crucified, executed as a criminal, that was associating himself with this person. So that if Joseph had been a secret disciple, now he was letting the world know that he truly belonged to Christ, that he was one of the followers of Jesus. And what he did would have come at a cost. There would have been the obvious financial cost, because that tomb was bought with his own family in mind, and now he was giving it to someone else. He was laying the body of someone else there. But even more so, there would have been a cost to his reputation. In handling the body of Jesus, he was making himself unclean. And being associated with Jesus, he was setting himself up as a marked man among the other leaders that John tells us he feared. Now, I want us to stop for a moment, and I want us to really think about the example that Joseph sets for us on this Easter Sunday. I want to ask you, and I ask young people this, as well as other people here today, are you a secret disciple of Jesus? Now, I know that in the world today, it's necessary for some people to be secret disciples of Jesus, because in North Korea today, in parts of China today, in many parts of the Islamic world today, there are people who need to meet in secret. They're described as the underground church, and they are worshiping the risen Savior today as we are, but they're having to do it behind closed doors. But I'm talking about here, in our community, in our society, are you a secret disciple of Christ? Or are you someone who is willing to identify yourself with your Savior? For some people today, that might have a cost, as it did for Joseph. In our changing society, when you make it obvious that you belong to Christ, in your workplace, in your school, even in your home, in your neighborhood, there may be a cost to pay. But let's return for a moment to this passage again. Because scholars who have studied Luke's gospel make an observation about what is going on here. It's one that I've never noticed before, but it's one that I want us to think about. They talk about the way in which Luke structures his gospel. And think about it. Luke's gospel starts, the earthly life of Jesus starts, with a man called Joseph taking care of Jesus. A man called Joseph laying the baby Jesus down in a place where no one had ever been laid before, in the manger. And then the story of Jesus' life in Luke's gospel ends with a man called Joseph taking care of Jesus and laying his body down in a place where no one had ever been laid before. So that there's this sense in which the story has come full circle. And both those ends of Jesus' life point to what the whole of his life was like. Because what Jesus says of himself is that the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Both of these moments, in the manger and in the tomb, they remind us of all that the Lord Jesus was willing to give up for us. Because think of who this Jesus is. Think about what the Word of God tells us about Jesus. Remember, it tells us that he is co-eternal with the Father. He has always been, and he will forever be. That he's the one through whom and for whom all things were made. He was there at creation, intimately involved in it. That he's the one who has always reigned with his Father, and yet the one who made us became one of us. The one who made this world stepped into this world and took on human flesh. And at every stage of that life, he depended on others. And ultimately, he went to the cross and he gave up his life so that sinful people like you and me could be reconciled to his Father. And Sinclair Ferguson sums it all up like this. He says, at the cross, Jesus had given up what was his for the sake of Joseph. Now Joseph was giving up what was his for the sake of Jesus. And he adds, this is what it means to be a disciple. People, that is what discipleship, following and belonging to Jesus, is all about. Recognizing that the Lord Jesus gave up everything for us, and trusting that that's enough, and then us as his disciples giving up everything for him. So that, as Paul puts it in that verse that we started our worship with today in 2 Corinthians 5:15, Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Today, knowing that Christ gave up everything for you, will you then give up everything for him? Will you come to him in the first place and find the rescue and the forgiveness that he achieved at the cross? If you haven't done that, please do that today and be reconciled to God for now and eternity. Will you come to him? Will you give yourself to him? Will you live for him? And doing that might have a cost. In this world and this society that opposes the Lord Jesus so much. But here's the thing. It is absolutely nothing. That cost is absolutely nothing compared to the cost that your salvation cost Jesus. The price that he paid for you. Our singers.